Pickaxe.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Hello and welcome to the Triforce Podcast, episode 99.1.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
99.1. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa, whoa.
Flax, what do you mean 99.1?
Why?
Explain yourself, young man.
This is not official episode 100. This is episode 99.1.
Right.
Because we're going to do episode 100 live at YogCon.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
So the lead up is going to be 99.1, 99.2, 99.3, yep. All the way to YogCon. And then the 100th episode will be very special because it'll be recorded live in front of five people at YogCon.
Exactly.
Cool.
And one of those will be Terps, but hoping that he can sneak
away. This is the 100th episode.
No, this is the 99.1th episode.
Well, right. But I guess we could call it whatever we wanted, though, in that case. We could call
it's
it
our
like,
podcast.
We could call it like Alpha.
Yeah.
You know, we could call it like, we don't have to call it 99.1.
I think to celebrate 100 episodes, we should rebrand.
Yeah.
At episode 100. So, like, we'll just call it, like, something totally different with, like, all new branding, and we'll get some cool sponsorships.
The Coca-Cola podcast brought to you by Pepsi.
Yeah, we'll get some new Patreon stuff. Like, we'll just completely revamp it for the
100th episode.
Saying
is we've spent 99.1 episodes building a name that people recognize and like, and we'll just rebrand.
Yeah. And we got all those accolades along the way. We won all those awards at the podcast industry awards shows and stuff. And like all that means nothing because
we haven't won. We haven't won shit.
We've been nominated for stuff by our loyal listeners.
That's true.
But we've never won shit because we haven't got a podcast about football or cooking or, dare I say it, about women's issues.
I mean,
we should do that.
We cover most of those things on a weekly basis, though. That's why I'm surprised we haven't. Yeah. In our own special way.
I suppose we talk about women's issues by talking about dicks and poop a lot. They're involved in both of those things in some way.
Yeah. Sure. Someone said to me yesterday, so how do you plan out what you talk about in the podcast? And I said, what do you mean? And they were like, well, I write down these list of bullet points and, like, you know, we go through them and we talk about these things and we plan it out. And I'm like, what? We don't do any of that. We literally turn up and managed to fill an hour with just off the top of our head garbage. Mostly
well, speak
ending
for
up
yourself,
being...
I usually come equipped with a list of bullet points. Like, for instance, this week, my list of bullet points, my first one is climate change.
Okay.
Yeah, that went down well last time.
And my second bullet point is I intensely hate women as well. So I was hoping that we could... You know, those are two things that I'm up for talking about at length this week, if you guys
are
also up for it.
In terms of the topics that you've got on offer there, Sips, part one, I think we've covered it. Part two, I think we should totally rebrand as one of those podcasts where men hate women.
Yeah.
We'd make a lot of money.
There's
a lot of angry dudes out there, and we could just say, like, what is it? Men go in their own way? That's a big one.
Yeah.
incels and stuff like that. We could get... There's a whole market of lads out there that hate women.
Right.
And I'm just saying, we could play that role.
We could capitalize on that.
We could act that, like, we hate women.
As two happily married dads, I feel like you're the perfect people to host that.
Yes.
But I think you have to be careful not to fall into the trap, right, of hot hairdresser chat, where you just talk about holidays. And, oh, are you going on holiday then? Oh, I'm going to Gibraltar.
yeah, I'm going to spend the week there. It's lovely and hot, you know, but they drive on the same side of the road as us. Oh, no, do they have the red post boxes? Oh, yeah, they do. During the whole, that stupid nonsense chat, which is just, you know, that you try and like just get through it out of politeness because you can't.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to distract the hairdresser too much from cutting your hair.
Yeah.
Or else you end up with a shitty haircut.
Because she's a woman, Lewis, and they're easily distracted and stupider than us.
What do you mean? I've had a male hairdresser for a long time.
I'm just
time.
Playing to our new demographic, dude.
Oh my God, dude.
I'm just saying.
Fucking way out.
Fucking women.
Oh, shit. Ugh. Oh, sorry. You're supposed to insult them because they're not sleeping with us. They're withholding sex from us.
They have all the power.
Bloody women.
They cut our hair. They clean our dishes. They make our sandwiches. What can't they do?
Those,
they control the world.
Women and their
fucking women.
Pussies.
Vagina having bitches.
God. God, their long legs and thighs. Oh, Jesus.
Now they've got legs. They've got legs. Lucky bitches. Fucking leg having. They got arms as well.
Let's have eggs.
Oh, those big birthing.
Did you say sandbags?
Big birthing hips of earrings.
Earrings and handbags. Oh,
fucking.
Sorry.
You know what they have got that I haven't got?
Hair?
Hair.
Oh, yeah.
That's what. That's something you could do. Like a kind of hair support group podcast.
On like as a podcast? Hair today, gone tomorrow? Or
once again, I think two of us here at least are wholly unqualified to speak about that topic. You got fairly luscious hair though, Lewis. You go to a stylist and stuff like that. Like you probably have a couple of things to weigh in on in the realms of hair, but
little do you know.
I don't know if me and Flax have much to offer.
Every time I go there, I just say, make me look beautiful. And that's
guy just runs out the door.
Like, I can't do it. It's impossible.
So are you guys therefore concerned that with this like 99.1, 99.2 that we're falling into maybe the same trap as Game of Thrones with like this just crazy amount of hype leading up to the end, or well, it's not even really the end, but it's just like something special.
Well, I'll tell you
that
why.
Might not be able to live up to all of the hype that we've generated around
it. There's a big difference here, Sips, so you're forgetting.
Right.
The makers of Game of Thrones really give a shit if the audience has a good time. We don't. So if episode 100 is a colossal failure, we'll be like, shut the fuck up and drink it. This is the soup we've served. If you don't like it, go listen to one of the other more popular podcasts.
Don't do that. Listen to ours.
Listen to the podcast.
I take what you're...
Shout out to all our Patreons, by the way. You guys are awesome. Thank you for that.
Thanks so much.
Really cool.
Oh my God. And thanks for all the continuing influx of images of people en route commuting and taking pictures.
God,
it's almost always the same picture, but it's super interesting.
it's really interesting.
Like a road in America with nothing on it. It's just barren
fields
America.
Someone's art class, like, someone's like drawing a picture of an Xbox controller here on like painting it. Like someone else.
Some of the jobs that I've got sent from the bridge of an expedition ship.
Wow,
that was quite cool. Some like fucking oil, I guess. They're seeking out oil or something.
Right.
People like their workbench, their lab that they're working in.
It's like a fish feeding
place.
Some guy
was working in a metal shop. Like this
metals?
Big fucking... Yeah, it's like I guess making pieces of metal or something. I don't know.
Oh, I thought you meant metals like a Timpsons or something, you know, where they make trophies.
No. This was like, I don't know. It was like, it looked like some sort of foundry or something. It looked interesting though.
Shout out to Timpsons, by the way. I didn't know this. Mrs. F was telling me their business practices are, they're very cool.
Right.
Very cool company to work for. They take on a lot of people that other people wouldn't employ, like ex-cons and stuff, trying to help them turn their life around.
They're not service oriented and they don't do crunches and stuff. So people don't tend to walk out from them and things like that. Yeah. That's just like, this is the new like gaming industry thing, isn't it? Like all of a sudden,
everybody's
decided to come out and start talking about how overworked they are because of the way that games are nowadays. And they have these like crunch periods leading up to patch releases or whatever and stuff. But I guess Timpsons isn't like that.
No, Timpsons does keys.
I think the only crunches they're doing is where they're standing behind the counter at Timpsons because they have to stand up all day.
And the only crunch I'm doing is the fucking Captain Crunch, if you know what I mean, every morning. God damn.
Crunchy bars, yeah.
The
only crunch I'm doing is these Pringles that I've got here.
Oh, Jesus.
Nice.
Oh,
see, I took them literally, and I had a Pringle about 20 years ago, and of course course, once I popped, I was legally bound and contractually not to stop. So I've had to keep buying them, even though they're not a great crisp. But, you know, once you popped, you can't stop. I bought into that when I bought my first Pringle, so fair enough.
Yeah. That was my favorite first world problem. My hand is too big to reach to the bottom of the Pringles tin.
That's why you had kids, right, to help you out with that stuff.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Yeah, they've got...
like, if only there were a smaller version of this hand that could help me...
just reach right down
there.
Very
carefully, underfed them for their formative years, so they'll always have small, weedy arms.
Yeah.
So they'll always be able to reach down there. Atrophied limbs is the key. Like Donald's tiny arms.
It's like that time Kramer had those Cubans rolling up pancakes in Seinfeld. Remember that? Fuck me, that was funny.
Fucking hell.
It's a good one.
Always things back.
You were asking about Gibraltar sips before we started.
Yeah, well, now, Lewis kind of like mockingly mentioned it as well, so
right,
I don't know.
And that reminded
me
again. So let me tell you, Mrs. F, in one of her older jobs, she had a job in Gibraltar.
Right.
And because a lot of gambling websites base themselves in Gibraltar for tax reasons, right?
Yeah.
So she was out there dealing with this case, and she was out there for like, I think 2 weeks, might have been 2 weeks. And I came out, this is pre-kids. I flew out there just to keep a company for a weekend.
Pre-kids, period. Know. Just, okay, set the scene. Long hair, flowing locks, you know, like trim beard, like quite tight bod. Like,
leisure
suit. Wearing trainers. Yeah, leisure suit.
Crocodile
on,
skin like, boots.
Yeah, like briefcase, like cigar.
Smoke cigars constantly, cigars.
Like fucking...
Hey, your name's P-Flex. Great to meet you. I'm very confident and muscular young man. I don't see that changing anytime soon either. By the way, I own 14 businesses and I'm a millionaire.
My virility is directly tied to my hair, and as soon as it goes, I'm fucked.
I'm done. And then Mrs. F got pregnant, hair flew out of my head, withered into
like
a slightly pudgy
dad. It was like
dad.
A raven just perched on your head, ready to go.
Yeah,
off
just
it went.
Flew away. But Gibraltar's weird because it is... like England, in that the streets all have names like Queen Elizabeth Way and Queen Victoria Avenue and stuff like that. But it's kind of vaguely Spanish architecture. Everybody walks around wearing Burberry, but they're all called Pedro and they all speak Spanish.
Right.
But they're all like, it's like this sort of ersatz version of the UK. So it feels like a bunch of expats have set up their own, which is basically what happened, set up their own community, but they're fiercely British. Like, there's flags everywhere.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of British sort of, like, territories where they're, like, quite clearly directly in the middle of another nation, but, you know, they're British.
Very British. Very like, British.
Like,
yes,
like, I'd imagine Hong Kong was probably like that for a time as well.
Probably.
Before it was... given back, but apparently Spain won it back, which is understandable, I guess, because it is...
It's literally attached to
Spain. It is attached to Spain, yeah. But I guess it was very strategic back in the day.
Maybe
Maybe not so much. Well, maybe it still is. I don't know, actually. I'd hate to just, like, assume, but, you know, I assume a lot. But anyway.
That's what a conversation
it's
an
interesting place. The context for this conversation is that I just thought it was an interesting place to go, and I've never been.
It's not worth it.
The flax has been.
I'll be honest with you. It's not nice.
I think it's a lot like Jersey, right? It's a lot like one of these British enclaves that kind of is just a little bit hotter, slightly isolated, has its own little quirks because it's like near to Spain,
right?
You know, a lot of kind of Spanish culture and stuff.
But it's weird because you land, like, the airport is like a strip, because it's like a spit of land ending with the rock. The rock is amazing, like, it is actually amazing. It's just, it looks like it fell from space and just plonked onto a beach. So if you know, it's so weird to see.
Yeah.
And it's completely out of place. Like, it really does feel like it was just a very slow-moving asteroid that just sort of gently nestled into the Earth rather than smash into it. Somehow. That's what it feels like.
Right.
And it's covered in monkeys, which is the other weird thing. But what is it? Barbary apes or something they called it? I can't remember. But anyway, there's some weird fucking... They're very, very friendly, but very unpleasant. So they'll just come right up to you. Like, they're not scared of people at all.
Do they take parts off of your car and stuff? Like, if you...
No, you don't have to drive it. Like, I don't know if you could even drive up to the rock. But we walked up there with one of Mrs. F's colleagues, who was a nice guy. And it was just climbed on him. Just a monkey just climbed on him. And they're big. Like, they're big. They're like a medium-sized dog. You know, they're not little, cheeky, like Indiana Jones's monkey in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And they're pretty scary looking. You know, they're grey, bristly fur, big teeth.
Nice.
But they just want what you've got. So if you've got an ice cream, that's coming with them, you know.
Food, though. They don't want your
camera.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. They don't steal your
They don't
your
want
shit.
Any money from you or anything
no,
like that.
No.
Okay, good.
But when you fly in there, you have to land on this sort of spit of runway that cuts across. And everything, all the traffic on the island has to stop, like a level crossing, but for planes.
Yeah,
so when the planes come in, you all have to wait. The plane lands, and then you can drive across, sort of thing.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's the checkpoint to Spain. It's just like a couple of very bored-looking border lads, and you just come and go. People come and go. Yeah, it's weird. And there's like some very old-fashioned kind of hotels there, and quite a lot of rich Brits seem to go there.
Yeah.
They call it Gib. They call it Gib, not Gibraltar. They do. Never call it Gibraltar. You call it Gib. If you're popping to Gib, yes, we just popped to Gib this weekend to see my aunt or something, you know. And they're like, on the plane, I was like, some of these lasses are quite posh. But yeah, I don't know what the attraction is. It's weird.
I think it's just
they
hot.
Just all want to go to Gib.
Hit the Gib.
So is it Gib or is it Gib?
That's a throwback. Very
that's
good.
A good one. Very so good. Yeah, that's a good throwback because I did ask last time for 100th episode kind of messages to see if people
wanted
to, like...
Well, they can save them for the 100th episode, Lewis.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, you okay. Got to save them all up now, Lewis, for YogCon.
I forgot.
Yeah, but we're going to be doing the official 100th episode live at YogCon.
You decided this. I was outvoted on it. It was like a 2-1 vote.
Yeah.
I was like,
"Welcome to democracy, bitch! You lost. Get over it."
Yeah.
I can be salty about it though, guys. I'm allowed. That's
no,
how
we're not. I'm not having a fucking second referendum on this shit. I'll tell you, that's it. 99.1th episode.
So
if the fans don't like it.
All right,
they can,
fine. Alternative.
They can make their protest known at YogCon.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Toupees, right? Have you ever thought about a toupee, P-Flex?
Have I ever? Yeah, I've thought about toupees quite often, yeah.
No, I've never thought about a toupee. For one thing, well, it's not... like I think if I'd started losing it and then tried a toupee, I might have gotten away with it. Like, you could sew in bits at a time to fill in the gaps.
But
have
you seen these new ones that are, like, basically like a sort of a bald cap with hair... already stuck to it. Do you know what I mean? And then you sort of you put it, you wear it for like a month, you shave your head completely, you put it on, they like stick it down with like latex and stuff.
Yeah, I've
and
heard
then it just
glue
looks
it on.
Like an amazing head of hair.
Right, question.
Go for it.
What's wrong with being bald?
Nothing at all. It's you're loud and proud with it, and you rock it and you look great. I think that you look fine. I think it would be quite
exactly.
funny to see you.
I mean, if someone
hair.
Said to you, you're going to go bald, if that fills you with mortal terror, I think you're a little too attached and vain to a simple appendage, your hair, if you can call it an appendage. Mine was an appendage. I could pick things up with it. It was like a monkey's tail. So in a way, I lost more than my hair. I lost my fifth limb.
In Gibraltar.
Yeah, it was cut off by monkeys. So there's a monkey somewhere with a fabulous head of hair.
It's got it stuck down with latex on his
Well,
his
I guess
head,
what I'm
so
saying is your baldness gives you a power, right, to be flexible and have anything. You could have like a pink mohawk. You could have like dreads. You could have like YouTuber hair, like... green hair.
Look, I'm not, yeah, this isn't a character creation mode in an RPG. You can't just cycle through the haircuts and see which one you fancy on my head.
Well,
you're stuck with hair, none. Right? No.
If I live with you, I would dress you up all the time in a little hat. I'd be like, got a new hat for you today, unlock this one. It's like a golf cap. Can I expect you to wear this and the pink afro?
Look, if I wear a hat, which I very do occasionally, if it's very sunny, I'll wear a hat. Because, you know, bald, you've got to be careful when you're bald. You burn your head real easy.
Yeah.
When I wear a hat,
even
the
when
ladies,
you're like
the
half
ladies
bald,
just won't leave me alone. Yeah.
When your hair is, like, thinning as well, your head burns very easily when,
it
you,
does.
When
it
you're
does.
In the sun. You have to be very careful. There's nothing worse than getting a sunburnt head.
Yeah, no. Sunburnt head sucks.
Yeah.
Because you touch your head, like that, all the time. And it feels hot all the time.
Yeah,
it feels like
yeah.
you've got a temperature. But no.
That's so weird about sunburn, isn't it? It's like... it's like where it burns, it retains the heat of the sun for days and days and days. Like your
yeah.
skin
Does
is hot.
Does your skin get still burning? Like, you know when they say, like, when you get a burn, one of the reasons you should run it under cold water is to remove the latent heat. Because otherwise, you know, you're still, the burn is still going on.
I don't know. I do that. Like, if I get a sunburn on my arm and I can feel my skin super hot, and then if I run it under cold water, my skin is still super hot. like underneath the cold water.
Yeah, what's
water.
Going on there?
I don't
is it,
know
is
the
it hot because your body is reacting to the pain?
Maybe.
I think
or is it
so.
Hot because it's full of heat?
Yeah, it's got to be your body reacting.
I think it's
pain,
inflammation
right?
caused by the burn.
Why
it's like,
does
I don't think you. It's not like photosynthesis. You're not like a plant absorbing the sun's energy and then like.
Well, you kind of do a little. You kind of absorb some of the sun's energy, not like in the same way that plants do. But.
No, here it is.
Don't worry, we got the internet, guys.
When the skin is burned, your body responds by increasing blood flow to the area. This makes the skin look red and feel warm. Your body also releases histamine, which triggers the inflammatory response behind the pain and warmth. So there you go. That's what it is.
Right.
So, yeah.
So does that mean if you took an antihistamine, like as if you were having an allergic reaction, and then some after sun, that would help?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Probably, yeah. I mean, that's how antihistamines
I don't know
work,
if it
right?
would, actually. I think it's one of those things you just power through. You don't do anything.
Dr. Sip says, just power through.
Just
I guess things
fine.
Like...
Dr. Sip, I'm in agony. Power through.
Are you bleeding from your ass? No, you'll be fine.
Just power through.
Yeah,
so
power through that.
This I've been really my ears have been really achy since I came back from San Francisco, and it was my own fault first of all. Like
letting
I guess
that guy put his dirty dick in your ear, is that what it was?
Yeah, people letting that filthy prostitute.
Do when
my
you
ears
clean out your ears with a Q-tip, Lewis, do you go really deep? Because
well,
you're not meant to.
So first of all, apparently you're not supposed to put Q-tips anywhere near your fucking ears at all. It's like a total disaster.
Well, you can do like the rim of your ear. It's kind of like when you're...
Yeah, you could do the outside bit. That's fine.
Have you ever wiped your ass with a wet wipe before? And
yeah.
Just thought there's a bit of this wet wipe that's not dirty. Let's just clean my ears out with it.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
No, that's not how I got... I think it was like the pressure plus like I think they were just a bit bunged up. And so what I did was I was kind of like poking my finger in there. And all that does is that pushes the wax kind of further back.
Yeah, it's like a really bad version of swimmer's ear, isn't it? You get all the
wax.
Yeah,
and so that's kind of what I've got
there.
Now, just like a bit of a painful ear. But I mean, it's kind of gotten better and it's gotten worse. It's gotten better. And I think I need to go and have it looked at. But I'd be taking like, because when I was out in America, I had the same problem. I got some Nurofen or what, you know, ibuprofen, right? But I accidentally brought
Advil.
The American version Advil, and I accidentally bought Advil PM, which has got antihistamines in it. And if you take one of those, it's like it's supposed to be one that you take at night and it makes you drowsy and knocks you out anyway. I guess I'm just not used to the ridiculousness of the American system where you can just buy much stronger drugs than
just over the
here.
Counter.
Yeah, just in big fucking barrels as well. You can just buy like, it's like, can I get like 12 of these? No. We only sell them in 500 packs. It's like a fucking protein tub of drugs.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why can you get all that stronger stuff? Is it because people are more reluctant to go to a doctor?
I don't fucking
know.
No,
I think
America.
It's simply because they can make more money that way.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Like literally... Mm. If you just open it up and say, like, I know that, what is it? Is it the FDA over there?
Yeah.
Like, you can sell drugs before they're FDA approved, right? Like it says on the adverts, pending FDA approval on some of their drugs.
Yeah, there's a lot of ads for drugs over there.
Yeah, so. And I think it's more just Americans like to buy big packets of things. No one wants to go in and buy 4 tablets of something. They want to buy 400. You know what I mean? And for $8.
That's a very,
so
like, American way, though. Cause then they'll put that big tub of pills in the garage and then they won't need those ever again, you know, until they're
they
out.
They got the space, like I was saying,
else.
They got
like,
space.
The thing is, like, you know, when you're, it's always about convenience, right? It's like, I want a painkiller, but I don't have any, so I'm going to pop into a pharmacy and buy one, right? Like, kind of thing. Like, because I'm not necessarily going to know when I'm going to have my ears aching or whatever, like, unexpectedly, anyway. I took one with lunch, just one, like, of these things. And I was, like, fucking almost knocked out in the middle of the afternoon. I was like, fucking, I thought jet lag had, like, caught up with me. But no, I realised like, later on that I just had one of these drowsy pills. Like, it's properly dangerous. If I'd been, like, driving somewhere or, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
operating heavy machinery, for example?
Yeah, geez.
Well, I was playing a few games, like Farming Sim.
What
operating.
If you were in charge of, like, pivoting a crane?
Yeah.
God.
That'd be awful. He'd be pushing people in the canals all over Bristol.
Oh my
crane.
God!
Oh my
with
God!
A
it's
crane.
The ultimate alibi. Could get the old medical industry.
I don't know if it's an alibi.
Lewis is pushing ways
to
have an industrial revolution. He uses a crane. I push 50 people at once with this thing.
This technology is incredible.
Fuck!
All I need to do is get them all to line up on the banks. So we've had a big old thunderstorm yesterday, and there was a leak in the ceiling. And it's nice to see, like,
rain.
In a way, like, I went out yesterday, and there's like a food market that I normally go to, right, on Tuesdays, and or Wednesdays, whatever day it was yesterday. And of course, like, because it's been shitty weather, it's quite empty, and like, I don't have to queue up, and there's lots of choice, and I can get whatever I want. Do you know what I mean? I like it. I like that. And because a couple of weeks ago, when it was busy and sunny and lovely, I went there at 2 o'clock, you know, after morning recording, and everyone was, it was empty, you know, it was like fucking locusts had descended and just eaten everything.
Nice.
So I'm just saying, keep this terrible weather going, because it means that I can get my lunch quite happily.
Yeah, nice.
Do you know why the leak happened, right? Because there's an internal gutter, right, on the building that is open. So it's literally open. So rather than, like, so what they've done is they've run the gutter right around the side of the building, but then it cuts through inside the roof and then it goes out the other side of the building, right?
Mm.
But the internal gutter, they've not bothered to, like, they spend the £5 or whatever on the plastic piping to make it, it's only a half hemicircle. So if it gets blocked up inside the building, it just overflows inside the building and just runs down the walls inside. And last time it got blocked up, they said, oh yeah, a bit of paper. We found a bit of paper up there. It's like, what do you mean a bit of paper? It must have blown in off the street. I was like, what, a bit of A4 paper? So they're telling me that rather than fix it, spend another like £10 on piping, plastic. I mean, how fucking cheap is piping?
It's cheap.
They're gonna come round and send a guy up every 6 months to clear out any like bits of A4 paper that blew up there, or any fucking Twix wrappers.
God.
Oh yeah, it's blocked by a Twix wrapper, mate. You don't want him getting in there. So we got there as an internal gutter, mate. If we get
what
any
we've decided
fucking...
is we're banning paper and Twixes in the building. So that's
but it
the
must have blown up from the outside.
That's the system they use in a little place I like to call Mexico City. Their entire sewage, you know, solution or whatever. I guess it's an old one, but it receives all liquid waste. It doesn't matter where it's from. So it's like residential, commercial, industrial, hospital. It all goes into the same place, okay? And then it all collects in these like big fucking processing vats just outside of the city. The problem is there's so much junk in the sewage. It's like, it looks like the garbage compactor scene from Star Wars. In there, it's just like all this. You can't even see water. It's just there's just crap floating around at the top of it.
Oh my god! And every time, do you know what this sounds like to me, Sips?
What?
This sounds like the best video game ever.
Right? I know. Yeah. So listen,
you could build a factory that like sorts out all of the sewage into shit and like treasure and like good bits and like plastic.
Don't. You'll get me too excited. Oh. Anyway, listen. So the solution is every time this thing gets blocked up or gummed up or whatever. They've got like two or three for the entire city, okay? Like there's fucking millions and millions of people living in this. There's like two or three trained certified like shit divers basically who gear up. They use like a shark cage to get lowered down into this like
get a lot of fucking ear
sewage
infections.
Pit. Oh my god, they have to like duct tape every crack on the suit so that nothing gets in and stuff. Like oh my, it's crazy. And then they go down there and the visibility is just nothing. There's just like big logs of shit floating around like and stuff.
Damn.
So this guy goes down and there's a blockage. He comes up. The thing that was blocking it this time was a fucking horse's skull, like a full horse skull. He's like, "Yeah, hey, here it is. Like, this is the problem."
And we just flushed this down the toilet.
It's back to working again. That's crazy, isn't it? Like,
it's fucking crazy.
I think they're changing it now, but it's been like that for years. So this guy
wasn't Mexico City built on Lake Texcoco or whatever they built like.
It's built in a crater that's sinking as well.
Wasn't it originally like a lake with a city in the middle? And then what they did was they like drained the whole fucking lake and just built Mexico City in it.
I think I'm pretty sure that parts of it are sinking though, because then they have like a
It's built on like
they
the
had
lake
a
bed.
Like a school building collapse not long ago. I think
that could have been anything. Honestly,
I think it's prone to like a lot of sinkholes and stuff. I might be wrong though, but. It's an interesting place. It's really big. But the biggest city on earth is now Tokyo. It has like 38 million people living in it or something.
Damn.
Like that.
It's one Tokyo city. Was really cool. Fucking really
I know.
Cool place.
I've been watching this show on BBC One, I think it is, called Earth from Space.
Right.
Man, it's really interesting. It's awesome. Man. It's like all these pictures of Earth from space.
I think I would really love to just live in your house and sit on the sofa and watch TV with you every evening and watch like... You know,
Earth
Mexico City's giant sewage
inside
tanks.
The factory.
Lewis, you have access to all of these shows on your TV.
But I don't. But I want Sips's like passionate like commentary going. You know, just his.
That's
stunned...
what the podcast is for.
Yeah, that's why I'm debriefing you.
No, I think that's
like,
why I love
like
it.
You're
though.
There now.
It's so there. Refreshing. I think that's my favorite thing of 100 podcasts, 100 years of Trifles.
99.1 podcasts.
Sorry.
99.1.
I think that it is like just listen to Sips' like viewpoint on the world and how he could get so excited about a £1 billion ship pipe or whatever.
Oh, it is exciting though.
It
really
is
cool.
Exciting. It is exciting.
It is,
to see,
he
like,
does have a unique viewpoint on the world.
But the stuff like you don't think about, like the sewage system, you know, like and stuff like that for fucking Mexico City.
I never watch those kind of shows, so I actually really like. The summary of what is out there on TV that I'm not watching.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I you know what? I watch a lot of fucking whatever YouTube recommends me, I'll watch it.
Oh, see, I don't watch anything
and
on
it recommends
YouTube.
Some weird shit, really weird stuff. It's like, why am I being recommended this? And, oh, we'll still watch it. I'm like, actually, that was a good idea, YouTube. Like, I really enjoyed that. It's bizarre. Some of the stuff it recommends. I mean, my recommended right now is the brake test for an Airbus A380-800.
Oh,
that's a video
cool,
that is recommended.
I'm
going to
watch that.
It's a minute long. Definitely watching
what
it.
What a plane. What a marvel of engineering that thing is. Holy crap. It's huge.
Garden gadgets tested. So they just test a bunch of garden gadgets. I'll watch that. I'll watch it.
I'm there. Yeah, I know. I noticed last time we were in Bristol, you do watch a lot of YouTube. Like every time you had any downtime, you were just sitting at a desk watching YouTube videos.
Well, to be fair, it's not my desk. So I don't want to log into anything. So I just have to watch something that I can just watch it in a browser. Like I don't want to have to connect to my Netflix or get a Hulu account or whatever or play games and like log in my Steam account because it's not my desk.
Right.
So I don't want to piss whoever's desk it is off.
Speaking of Netflix, I watched the Motley Crue biopic, The Dirt.
Any good?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't bad. It was it was too predictable because everybody knows all the Motley Crue stories. So like, you know, when you see it being acted out and stuff, you're like, oh yeah, whatever. Like they were totally fucking nuts.
I mean, maybe the younger audience doesn't know about Motley Crue.
Maybe.
Like to them, it's like hearing about Led Zeppelin and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's
The old, like, you know, big rock band tales of, you know, partying and cocaine and, well, heroin. My God, holy jeez. A lot of heroin in
so much heroin
in the dirt. Turns out, yeah. But no, it was pretty good. And then and you know what I started watching recently, which is fucking awesome, and I don't know why it took me so long to get around to watching it, because I really liked season one and season two of Twin Peaks.
Oh, wow.
They did a season three 25 years after, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's fucking really good. It's really, really good. I think I'm on episode 6 or something, but there's like 17 episodes, so it's a big long thing, but it's just a continuation of the weird and wacky story of Twin Peaks.
Right.
But it's super fucking good. It came out I think like 2 years ago or something. But yeah, it's I highly recommend it. If you like David Lynch stuff and you like Twin Peaks.
I'm a big fan of his.
Well, I watched
the original series, so that was something me and my mum used to watch a lot of telly together back in the day.
Yeah.
God knows what my sister was doing. I don't know what she was doing. But anyway, we'd be watching telly. We watched like Twin Peaks. There was a whole bunch of shows that my mum would be like, Twin Peaks is starting? And I'd come down and we'd watch it. It was great. It was really nice. Like there was quite a few shows that I can remember specifically because of, you know, me and my mum loved The Bill. Classic The Bill. When it used to be good. Used to love The Bill.
It's gone now, isn't it? They cancelled it.
Yeah. I mean, it was good back in the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, they kind of ruined it. But yeah, it was weird because I remember watching it and I must have been a young teenager at the time, I guess. Had no fucking idea what was going on.
What, in Twin Peaks? Yeah,
yeah. I'd it was very confusing.
If you watched it when you were, like, young, in your teens or whatever, I'd recommend watching it again now just to get, like, a better idea of, like, the story's pretty neat. I don't know how to really explain it. I think the thing I like the best about it is the David Lynch sort of style of presenting a story but leaving it open enough for interpretation, not really spelling everything out so that you're interested enough to seek out more, but it's not too far one way or the other sort of thing.
Like, right. I feel like he's doing what J.J. Abrams tries to do a lot of the time, which is create a bunch of scenarios that are interesting, not necessarily finish them off, but he still gives you a satisfying conclusion, I feel. Yeah. Whereas J.J. Abrams just kind of doesn't. Like, if you think about Lost, loved that show because I thought, man, I can't wait to understand how all this shit fits together. And then he never did. Like, he just
It was like, it was interesting up until the storylines just fizzled out or just...
Yeah, you just kind of realized, oh, they're just not going to tell
us. There's no plan for it.
At all, yeah.
I've got a couple of shows that are weird. Like Lost, I really liked the idea of, but it just got really silly in the end, and I just couldn't watch it anymore.
I genuinely loved it.
Yeah,
because it was like
that with Walking Dead as well. I really loved the setting. The first like couple of seasons were really good. The characters I really liked and stuff, and then again, it just sort of got like a bit weird, or not even weird. It just, parts of it just felt a bit weak, and I just stopped watching it. And then there's this other show that I watch called The 100, which fucking begrudgingly watch because I really like the idea of it. I like the setting and the theme and stuff.
It's had like six seasons of it.
Yeah, well, the sixth season is being aired now, and I just finished watching the fifth season because I just waited for it to be on Amazon Prime. It's one of those stories about human nature being really shitty, but then you have to slog through the shittiness of human nature to the point where oftentimes each episode you're shaking your head and audibly sighing because of how stupid the characters are. Like, but I keep watching it. I don't know why. It's a weird one.
Watched this show. I don't know if they ever made it a second series. It was on Netflix and I can't remember what it was called. It was something like The Rift or the Big Hole or something. I can't remember anyway. Basically the gist of it is, these people turn up in the ocean,
right?
And they all wash up on a beach, and they're all from the future,
right?
That's like, and they've come back through some portal to escape the horrors of the future. They've come back to the past,
right,
to try and change it. And that, you know, it was kind of like an intriguing idea. These people all turn up in the sea. Where are they from?
Yeah,
you know, why don't they remember? And then they gradually starts to come back, and they explain that this is all in episode one or so. That basically there's some future race of genetically superior engineered humans that have taken over. And if you're not genetically engineered, they've, you know, enslave you or kill you or something like that. And I thought that's an interesting setup because you find out obviously there are some of these people, some of the bad guys have also come back, quite intriguing. But then it just turns into shit. And it was like horribly written, dragged out for God knows how many episodes because it's a Netflix series. And that's what pisses me off about a lot of these shows. I feel like they come up with one core idea and never add to
it. Well, that's it. Yeah. Like it's about that one idea. And once you know what that idea is, all the mystery's gone out of it often. And then you've just got a bit of soap opera drama in there. And that's all that's left. And it feels like, you know, that the people who are running it want to keep it going, and the people who are starring in it, they keep wanting to get this because it's very hard to kind of kick out and kill like staff, like crew members. Do you know what I mean? Because they're almost like staff. They're like kind of like, they're part of the fabric of the show. And as a result, they kind of have to stick around. It's hard to get these actors and cast the right people in the first place. And they can't constantly have that dramatic like moment of getting, you know, bumping someone off. Like they're scared to bump off main characters often.
Yeah.
And so you end up with these people with this no drama. It's like nice when there's a movie of it, I guess, because then at least you can have twists and stuff and it's over in a comfortable period of time.
I guess Game of Thrones is different in that way because it does kill off a lot of characters. Like, I mean, how many like big characters were killed off throughout Game of Thrones? Like fucking hundreds, right? But, you know, some shows will never kill off a main character. And then, like, a show like Game of Thrones will kill off a lot of main characters. And I think it's like, I don't know. Like, the problem with Game of Thrones now is that I feel like coming up to the end of it, there's barely anybody left alive that I like in the show. Like all the cool dudes are dead. Like, and they, some of them died like a really long time ago, or, you know, some of them are just gone. And that with them, their storylines, and like in a lot of cases, like their families and like their interesting families are just sort of like left to the dust as well. You never hear about them again because they're no longer relevant or whatever.
There's
got to be like a middle ground between killing too many characters and then never killing a single character, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a middle ground there between you've got to let enough people alive for the story to carry on in a way that's not lame, you know. But at the same time, I think that you need to be willing to surprise people and subvert like the medium and try and just be unpredictable, you know, and be edgy and like, you know, not be so safe and kind to the point where, like, I was watching the new Star Trek on Netflix, and obviously one of the characters sort of dies fairly soon in the first season,
right?
And then they come back from a parallel universe. It's like, oh well, I guess that character was, I guess that actor needed to stay in the show or whatever, so we're just gonna have her come back from a parallel universe. And I'm okay with that, I guess, but it feels like a little bit of a, I don't know, not a cop-out.
The problem is, I think, any show like where you've got, like, if you think about Game of Thrones, in its peak, there wasn't a main character. You know what I mean? There were multiple plots and threads that we were following.
Yeah.
But any show where you start to focus on a very few characters, they're the driving force for the narrative. You can't suddenly say, oh, yeah, we killed all them, and with only one season left to go, we're now going to introduce a whole bunch of new characters, make you care about them, give you an entire backstory and a character arc. So you can't do that. So as the show starts to narrow to a point and finish, you have to basically remove the risk to those main characters, whereas in earlier Game of Thrones, you didn't.
No, yeah.
Like, you could kill off whoever the fuck you wanted, but you'll have three seasons to introduce new people.
Even now with Game of Thrones, like, it feels like they're bringing back a side character just to kill them. You know, you haven't seen a character for ages. They come in and they're for an episode and then they're dead. And it's like, it feels like they've got enough to work with. They've introduced thousands of characters over the course of Game of Thrones. You know, and a lot of them are still just now completely ignored, you know. I don't know. I think it's a bit weird, that's all. I'm a big fan, but this last, I think we talked about a lot about Game of Thrones and stuff over the last couple of weeks because it's just been...
It's a huge thing.
It's a huge thing. There's like two episodes left and then it's done. I'm kind of looking forward to it being done just to get the closure and then move on with my life.
Yeah, I want to know. There was a really quite a sad article, I think it was in The Guardian, and it's a woman who's got terminal cancer, and she said that, tragically, one of the first things she thought was, I hope I live to see how Game of Thrones finishes.
Right.
And she said it brings to mind how trivial things actually become quite important in a way. I mean, it doesn't matter if she doesn't know how Game of Thrones finishes, but that was the first thing that occurred to her, and I think that's an interesting thing to think about. I've also thought the same thing sometimes, like, I hope I don't die before Game of Thrones finishes, you know what I mean? I want to know how it ends. Not because it's the most important thing in my life, but my I don't want it. My final thought to be, how does Game of Thrones end? And that's it, I'm dead. You know, that would be the worst...
I think overall it's been a really good series. Like, I think even with the, you know, like the most recent episode and maybe the last like two seasons or so being viewed as like weaker seasons or whatever, I still think overall it's been a great show. Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, compared to a lot of this shit, it's better than watching The Bill, you know. I'll put it that way.
Be right back, guys. Sorry, I'll be right. One second.
He's just walking out in the middle of the podcast.
No, he's got to go check on his prized collection of The Bill DVDs. Just all this talk of the Bill's got him feeling
getting
a bit sweaty. He's been worried. He's been worried about his stuff.
That was Mrs. F at the door. She's an avid listener, by the way. She'll send me comments about the previous episode, and obviously, like a lot of Triforce fans, assumes I remember anything that we've fucking spoken about.
So she's met Lewis before, right? I've never met your wife before.
No, you haven't met her. So
does she hate us like with a passion now? Like without even knowing us?
No, she fucking loves it.
Oh, okay, good.
She sent me a picture of where she was listening to the Triforce podcast. And as it happens, this last couple of weeks, she's been in Ethiopia, in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, for work. So she sent me a picture of Addis Ababa saying, catching up on the Triforce podcast in Addis. Like, she just fucking sent it to me.
She didn't post it on Twitter like everybody else?
No.
Oh, right. She doesn't follow us on Twitter?
Yeah, she does. She often has a go at me about things I tweet. Yeah, she's there.
Great.
She'll send me little clips, like not clips, but like little quotes. And I'll be like, huh? And she'll be like, it was enjoyable.
My wife doesn't want to have a... My wife doesn't want social media accounts, right? It's like she doesn't want to be on Facebook. She doesn't want to be on Twitter or anything like that. But she like spies on me on Twitter. Like she she looks up my tweets every day to see like what I'm up to and stuff. And then similarly to your wife, I guess, she'll like comment once in a while on like, you know, whatever I'm, you know, ranting on about or
why did you retweet that cosplayer? that kind of shit.
Yeah, that kind of shit. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's weird.
So listen to this. The other day I was in the kitchen and the kids were listening to some music on Alexa, right? I can't remember what song it was, but it had a really great bass line. And I was doing like this air bass, but it was like, it was kind of like doing like Elaine Bennis's dance from Seinfeld. You know, that episode where she does
the thumb jerking thing?
Yeah, the thumb jerking with the foot sticking out. So I was just like joking around. I was trying to make my kids laugh and stuff. And they were laughing, doing this like stupid like dance, like with this like air bass guitar and stuff. And I knew the song like well enough to know like when the pauses were and stuff, and like they were laughing at that and everything. And this was going on and on and on for like it had to have been like half an hour solid. We were just doing this, and like so we're just like joking around and stuff. And my wife was sitting like at the table, I think just like drinking tea or whatever. And every once in a while, I look over and she was like laughing and stuff. And then the song ended, and we were all like, "Oh, that was great, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, perfect, whatever." And then my wife just sort of gave me this look, and I was like, "What's up?" She's like, "You know what I just realized, and it's kind of weird." And I was like, "What?" She's like, "You pay the fucking bills around here. You've just been playing air bass guitar for like half an hour, like some idiot, and you're like the sole breadwinner of this whole household." I was like, "Yeah,
we hitched our horses to this wagon. I can't believe it."
It was just such a funny, remark, like after just like this weird fucking half hour of playing
You got to feel bad for wives, man. Yeah. I mean, they see their husbands, like, especially when they got kids. I don't know why. It always seems to be dads that are like the biggest fucking clowns for their kids. Like, I'm constantly doing stupid shit to entertain my kids and just being an absolute twat. And Mrs. F must just look at me sometimes and think, what is this? What am I involved in? Why did I marry this yutz? Like, just what's going on? Just like a clown. It's like she's married Bobo the fucking clown.
Yeah, I feel like that in my household, also in public and on the internet as well. Some fucking clown.
As thick as the skin that you think you've cultivated, sometimes stuff does get through as well. Sometimes you think, fuck, I'm done with people taking the piss at me for this or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
You're all right there, Lewis. comes back with like just like the realest fucking talk you've ever heard.
Yeah, guys, we should all just kill ourselves.
We should just fucking hang ourselves right now. God damn, your skin can only be so thick, you know.
Oh man!
What could I say?
That was like a super chill conversation, and now it's just right down in the basement of emotion.
I didn't realize what I'd come back into.
He just weighed in with some Zen shit. That'll liven it up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Remember? Remember? Like,
what happened to Lewis's Zen phase?
Yeah. What happened to your Zen phase? It was very short lived.
It was around. It was around the time I went to Japan and came back.
The personal training phase, which was also quite short lived due to your
personal training phase,
massive inappropriateness, I guess.
It turns out it wasn't physical training you needed; it was personality training. That was the problem. You should have gone in for that.
Yeah, you need you need some sort of life coach, I think, Lewis. You need somebody who's gonna like just
like a life coach. You could do like a guru.
Yeah,
overlaps with the whole Zen thing.
Yeah.
Get a guru.
Yeah, get a guru.
The thing is that he'd follow me around, or she would follow me around the whole time, and I'd have to have her on the podcast. It'd be like, this is my life coach, Susan. And she'd be like,
Hello.
And like, oh God, you know what I mean? They start becoming part of your I'm coach Lewis, your life. Vegan, that's and I have kind a life coach. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's part of the way you introduce yourself.
A vegan life with a life coach. Yeah, you're right. It's too much.
You'll
be making your own shoes and cutting your own hair.
I'm working my way through all the trends slowly.
Yeah. It's all right. A man's got to find himself.
Wait, did you make your own shoes?
Who?
Lewis.
Do you?
Not yet. It's only a matter of time, though, I think. Like, episode 200, I'll be, like, talking about how I've been fucking skinning a cow, organically grown, though, you know. It didn't hurt.
Organically grown cows, skinning it to
as
make
opposed
shoes.
To those vat-grown cows they make all the other shoes out of.
Yeah,
making
oh,
was
it,
you,
making
was
it, into
it you
shoes.
Who was talking about Burger King having meat-free burgers
last
week or whatever?
Yeah, in America,
it's interesting,
anyway.
Isn't it?
I mean, I never would have thought Greg's would make a vegan sausage roll and that it would be incredibly popular. I know a lot of people have eaten them and said they're really good.
Right.
I mean, it would be really good for the environment.
Man, I'm sure I've mentioned it before, but the way that they make those micro proteins is incredible. Like, it's food conjured out of nothing. It's,
what they
it's
do
insane.
Is they get all of the shit pipe stuff out of Mexico City. Yeah. They separate it out. Okay. And
yeah,
all the lumpy
made in
bits
Mexico,
go into
away.
This vat.
Yeah.
And then it just gets made into corn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's never given me diarrhea.
Corn. You know that corn that, like, when it comes out of the vat and it's in that.
I thought you were going to say when it comes out of your ass.
That thick, rubbery, sort of like congealed, almost like jello form that it comes out of when they first start to, like, process it and cook it and stuff like that. It looks like, have you ever played Oxygen Not Included?
Yeah.
You know that, like, you know, like the mush bar machine?
Yeah, yeah.
Where, like, that, you know, it makes like a bar of mush and it just sort of like poops it
from
out
algae.
Of the machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like, the process is incredible though. Holy shit. It's just like, it's just little tiny bacterias that they put into like a petri dish and they just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and then they just have this way of exponentially growing it and then they just create like tons and tons of this stuff and then they just like cook it and flavor it and make it taste like meat. It's fucking
holy
incredible.
Shit.
And it comes from nothing. It's like a little, it starts off as a little fucking tiny bacteria, like microscopic and then just grows into like these these weird foods.
That is the way
you
forward.
Can get steaks, you can get sausages.
They got to feed it something, right?
You can get burgers, chicken nuggets, all
what are
your
they
favorites.
What are they feeding
aren't they
I have
feeding
no idea.
It?
I don't think they feed it anything. I think it
no.
just, it's
no,
just
nothing,
a combination
just
of like temperature and fucking water or something.
There must
I don't
be
know.
Something.
It's
nothing
like,
grows without energy
yeah,
coming
just, they
in.
Put it into like one of those little like things that looks like a fridge, but you know, they can set the temperature exactly and that's like the ideal growing conditions for it or something. It's like, I don't think they feed it anything. I think it just grows. It's like, it's like a, it comes from like a mushroom. It's like,
glucose
like a tiny.
Glucose and fixed nitrogen are added as a food. So they add stuff. They do add glucose.
Right, okay. And then these things just like grow and grow and grow and grow. And then they've got towers of it. Like, and
wow.
it's in the north of England as well. So it's like extra depressing. It's like,
it's
you know,
in
Sheffield. It's like just outside of Sheffield, there's just these gigantic towers.
It's made in Stokesley, North Yorkshire. Yeah. Yeah, we make corn up here.
It used to be a steel
mill. You
fancy
here. Southerners with your cows and your sheep. We've got corn. We grow it in vat from Fusarium venenatum strain PTA2684. Thank you very much. If you like corn, come to Yorkshire, Stokesley, in North Yorkshire.
Honestly, if you cover it in gravy, it'll taste fine anyway. All right, that's enough. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week, everyone, for episode 99.2.
99.2 yep. FM, the soul of rock.
All right.
Don't be disappointed that this isn't 100.
Yeah.
All right, 100 will be live. It'll be exciting.
100 will be a better one.
Crowd
this
will
rubbish.
Be involved.
This was a rubbish 100, so...
I think I felt like there was enough hype leading up to what should have been 100 today, and now we're adding another layer of hype. We're never going to be able to live up to this. You know,
of course
it's
we will.
Just going to be disappointing.
I'll get nice and drunk. We'll do a live podcast. It'll be fucking great.
Maybe we can take pictures of where we do the live podcast and send them to people on Twitter and say,
turn the tables on
this
them.
Is where I'm watching you from, and then we can be like, well, this is where I'm podcasting from.
Yeah, sounds good. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, Lewis seems excited. All right, peace out.
Okay, bye. Thanks. See you later. Bye.